I know you're gonna dig this.
There it is.
Welcome to the End Zone Club, where we have conversations that are designed to push you from walking in potential to fulfilling your purpose and introducing our host, Anthony Mitchell.
Extreme transparent moment for me. I am working out after I had my last baby. Just in a few short weeks, baby will turn one. It took 9 months to create her and nurture her in my body, and it's taken almost 1 year to get back in my ideal shape. So come along with me on this journey as I return to healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the End Zone Club, where, as always, we have conversations that are wrapped around things we know now that we wish we knew when we were younger. And today, no news is good news. That means if you haven't heard from me in a few days, all is well. With that said, I want to go ahead and just jump into today's edition without a whole bunch of fanfare. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be alive and to be back with my End Zone Club family who has been faithful to the cause. Just want to let you guys know I appreciate your support wherever you're listening to, by whatever means you were listening to. But my only ask is that for those of you who are listening in today, that you take the contents of today's podcast, like it, share it, rate it, subscribe if you're not subscribed, but make sure somebody else hears today's content. But today's going to be an adult conversation that at some point or another in life all of us will probably experience, but that's as it pertains to friendships, relationships. It's the energy we get. Are we giving that same energy? Maybe I should reframe this. I want to start it with a question that's probably a little more engaging. And that question goes something like this. Is it wrong to be as loyal to others as they are to you? I want you to think about what I'm actually asking. So I ask it again. But is it wrong to only be as loyal to others as they are to you? You know, it's not uncommon in life to have people that are friends with us, right? Maybe I should say that again. It's not uncommon to have friends. Friends are a very basic portion of life. And one of the things I've noticed even within our mentoring is that there are a lot of people that are chasing other people. I mean, lock, heart, stock, barrel. Anything they're doing, they're at it. Anything they have going on, they support it. Anytime they need a friend, they're available. But that same level of loyalty that they're giving to others, they're not getting that same energy back. You know, I often like to look at us as humans as having a tank of energy. God has given you and I a certain amount of grace, a certain amount of energy, a certain amount of liberty, and ability to be available to others. I mean, for some people, in the course of 24 hours, you only have so many minutes to do so many things. So with that said, all the things you have been given on your plate to juggle, maybe you've got a family, maybe you don't. Maybe you're a gamer. Maybe you're not. Maybe you have a significant other, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or you have an animal. You have responsibilities, obligations, things that take your time. Sometimes, though, I've noticed that within our obligations and within what we're balancing, we will take away from things that actually matter to give it to places that aren't equally giving as much. And for me, it's a significant problem when I see people spend so much of their life invested in others and not getting that same energy back. So my question to you guys is, through a Christian lens, I know we're often taught to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us, but is there a specific lens when always being the bigger person, or always being the given person, or always being the available person? Is there an unhealthy lens that is not covered in that scripture? Whew, I have to unpack this for a minute, because I am probably going to just be transparent, but I am myself in that point of life where, as I get halfway through the year, of course, I have to be very self-reflective, because half of the year is already gone. It seems like just yesterday that I was writing out a vision board and making preparations for receiving whatever blessings I felt like God had for me and my family this year. And I always feel like in order sometimes to receive something, you have to give something. So I have been willing to give it up, or give up some things that I was doing, albeit ways I spend my time and energy, being more effective with my time and energy and how I spend time, because my wife likes to think that I'm a very free spirit, that I'm very giving to people. And in a lot of sense of the word, that is very true, because I've got a very giving heart. I see people doing things, and sometimes their passion becomes my passion, and before you know it, I become over obligated. But for me, I know that on my vision board, some of the things that I put down included promotion and new jobs and those sorts of things, and they have happened, but I have found myself having to rearrange my palette of timely scheduled things and being careful how much energy I spend in places, right? This is the way I see it. If I give 40 hours to a job, I expect 40 hours of payback. I mean, I don't think that's unhealthy. That's an equally mutually compromising ordeal. I promise to give you this in exchange for that. But I also give so much in the community. I knock on so many doors to make things happen. And in return for the knocking I'm doing, the asking I'm giving, the giving away, and you know, sometimes I'll do things like making appearances. I'll talk on various platforms. Hey, you need me on your podcast? I'm there. Hey, you need me on this Zoom call? I'm there. Hey, you need me over at this event? If I have time, I can make it happen. Oh, you guys are trying to raise money. You need some items for raffles? Here, I got this. Do that. You do these things for people. You give all of this for people. And then in return, you get a wild goose chase. That's not healthy. And I challenge each of you that have giving hearts. I challenge each of you that have invested interests in others' hopes and dreams to pay attention to what you're getting in return. Now, without notice, I'm going to knock on wood, because I will say that everything I do, I have tried to take the theme, everything you do, do it to God. When you bless people, albeit anybody, don't do it for them, do it for God. Because I do say that everything you give to God, you do get it back in some shape, form, or return. So nothing you ever give goes unnoticed in God's eyesight. But in terms of you and I, sometimes this energy that's not reciprocated, that's energy that's not giving back. Hey, when you're doing something I'm prompt about helping you, then when I need it 3 months later, I am still waiting for you to do what you said you were going to do last year. That's a very big stumbling block for a lot of builders, a lot of creators, a lot of people that are starting businesses. Sometimes they have to work through that stumbling block of realizing that sometimes you have to be the consistent force in your own journey. I have seen a lot of phenomenal, tremendous, potent business ideas, entrepreneurs, people that starting off on the right foot, getting discouraged or stopping their plan because they're not getting the support. Just recently, we had right here in my city, there was a restaurant. Unfortunately, with the way I work, I didn't even know the restaurant was here, but apparently had been here, was a storied franchise. Unfortunately, they weren't getting support. So the owner of the restaurant got on social media and kind of expressed their dismay for the lack of support after all that they had done in the community for others and the people they had fed and the events they had hosted. Like, nobody remembered them. And unfortunately, it took some of the local businesses seeing her heart, her plea, that banded together and did some social outings to drive business into her restaurant. But I saw that, and when I see these sorts of things, it hurts me. Or sometimes there's those conversations just moving forward that you have with people that started off with phenomenal hearts, and then now they're bitter, now they're hurt, now they're in a point of life where they don't trust anyone, they don't like anybody, they become loners and isolated in their own context, because at some point in life, they were given things they weren't getting back. All of us know people like that. All of us know situations like that. That's why I'm a firm believer that it's not in how you start, but in how you finish. So at some point, understanding that it is a very healthy component of your walk, my life, your walk, all of our journeys, we have to learn how to protect our peace. I have seen some of the most powerful, influential, even biblical people. I know a lot of times we look at the biblical people from a fairy tale, awe-inspiring, nothing wrong ever happened to them kind of stance. But man, when you really break down where Elijah was at the most powerful time in his journey, this man had, in a superhero fashion, called fire down from heaven. And then now he is in his most powerful moment. He's begging for death because now he feels like he's alone. It feels like he has given his all to seeing people coming back to what he felt like they should have been doing in the first place, and that's worshiping God. He had given all of this for this to happen, and then now he feels alone. And in his moment of loneliness, in his moment of depression, he's asking God, go ahead and take me out. Same thing with John the Baptist, powerful guy, but he went through a point of depression. What happened? Sometimes this portion of life where just being human, being part of this day-to-day rat race, you're giving so much energy to so many places. Sometimes when I lay down, my mind is running for an hour after I intended on going to sleep, because so much of what I've placed in my hands, so much of what I'm trying to accomplish, so much of what I've done through the day, I didn't realize that residue was still carrying in my life. And now I'm trying to go to sleep and my mind is still spinning. Man, you got the power bill due. Man, your kids need shoes. Man, you got to get some stuff in the refrigerator. Man, do you have enough for gas this week? These are all the questions I start asking myself on a constant day-to-day process. And it's like my energy dial is spinning from full to empty every time these thoughts go, and they keep going. You guys know what happened when you leave the refrigerator door open? Mm-hmm. You guys know what happened when you leave the lights on all night, or you go away for the weekend and every light is left on in the house? What happens to your power bill? It keeps going. It doesn't stop. Well, our energy is the same way. The next time before you say yes to an obligation, before you thought about it, before you've prayed about it, before you first sat down to see, do I even have the strength to bring this thing through? I know I told some people yes to some things, but dude, do I really have the time to take away from my destiny, from my purported journey, from my portion of life to give these places? Don't you know the Bible gave a story about the five foolish virgins and the 10 wise, five wise. I can't even get it out. There were five foolish virgins and five wise. Now, I always thought it was crazy that both of these sets of people were both chaste. They were disciplined. They were people that were committed to covenant, meaning that they weren't going to allow certain things sexually to happen for them until they found the right person. And it takes a lot of commitment to do that. But in that, there were five of them that were called unwise. And you really look at that, just that passage just a little more. And you're wondering, what's the difference between the five smart ones and the five unsmart ones? And you see, it's how they carried their oil. They were at a wedding and they were supposed to have brought enough oil, which in this, what we're talking about applies to the energy we have. And the five unwise just let their oil burn, their energy go. They were at this party having a good time. And then when it came time for the wedding, they didn't have enough energy to make it. Now the five wise, the Bible says they were trimming their oil. That means they were cutting back on what they were spending. They were cutting back on what they were using. They were looking at what God allocated in their lives and put in their hands and saying, okay, if this is going to make it, this is how I can stretch this further. Instead of burning this at full tempo here, let's cut it back. Let's be resourceful. Let's be smart. And then when I need it, I'll have it. This is something I have got to do a better job at. And I think I kind of answered my own question. But when you're thinking in terms of, do I have enough to see God's vision for my life through? There is that question you have to ponder, and you have to look at some of your friendships. Just to keep it 100, you do have to look at friendships. You do have to look at how you're spending your energy, your time, your resources, and say, yeah, I need to cut this back. I need to, you know what I'm saying? I got to get out of this agreement right here. Because all good opportunities, all good things are good on the surface, but not maybe right for you. I'll have a lot of people that'll reach out to me. Hey, can you do this for me? And it's things I'm passionate about, things I love, but sometimes it's not right for me. Does that make sense? I'm already 60 hours in the week. Kids already haven't seen a lot of me this time of the month. Maybe I've been gone. Maybe military obligations have not. And everything I say yes to takes away from my house. That's an adult conversation that adults have to have and have to be honest instead of saying, yeah, I can do that. Because you know what's at the end of always saying yes? Burnout. You know what's at the end? A repercussion. Do you know what's at the end of not being able to say no? Your body will say no for you. I don't think I ever told you guys this story, but earlier in life, I had that experience where my body told me no. And dude, I don't know what happened, but I was in college and we were working on some 400 volt transformers at school. It's part of the electrical engineering class I was in, and we were out there working and, you know, having a moment working, everything's good, and somebody said, hey Mitchell, wipe your nose, you got a little blood on it. Wipe my nose, didn't realize one of my blood vessels had just poof, and it just poured. It was pouring. Ended up having to go to the hospital. Started talking to the doctor as I'm sitting on the table. They've got the bleeding to stop. But the doctor was like, let me ask you this, and he starts asking me stupid questions about my schedule. And he says, man, you know what? It looks like you just have too much on your plate right now. You need to say no to some things. And I'm like, I've never looked at it like that, because as a young man, I felt like, y'all, Mitchell can go. Mitchell can do whatever God gives him to do. And he's always ready to get out of here. He's always ready to go see what's on the other side of this opportunity. But that doctor had a very real conversation with me in that moment. And I'm having a hard time grasping, because already, me being me, I've already got some stuff I'm ready to get into this week. And then now you're telling me I need to take some time off, some days off. I need to slow down, and my body's trying to talk to me. Dude, what does a doctor know about my body, right? So y'all, as I'm laying here on this table, one of our church musicians randomly shows up and he's like, hey man, I need you tonight. We got a church revival to play, and that revival was about 2 hours away. Y'all, I'm sitting here laid out on the table. I've got all kind of stuff stuck in and out of my nose. And do you know, I didn't have enough sense to listen to what the doctor said. So I ended up bleeding some more that night, and we went, played the revival, whatever. Thankfully, God was gracious enough that it didn't get worse than what it got. But I saw then in that moment that even for some people, their priorities for you are not the same as they are for them. Somebody in that moment should have probably said, hey, we probably have to have a backup plan tonight because I don't think it's a good idea for him to be here tonight. But instead, not only did I go, but I was the one that drove. I had like 30 minutes to get off that table, to get home, change clothes, and then take that 2+ hour trip so that I could be there on time. Y'all, the crazy things we do to be available for other people. And then now, looking back now, none of the people that I made that sacrifice for are really even here today. Hadn't seen some of those people in years. And that's the reality. Yeah, I thank God that he blessed me, that it didn't go worse than what it was. But as I look back, and I'm still looking forward at some things on my plate, whew, we got to do more better. Anyway, guys, I don't like to just belong the time, as we say, but I just wanted to put this content out here to you today because I feel like there were some of us that are listening that are also still learning this lesson themselves, that sometimes we are more loyal to others than they are to us. And sometimes when that happens, you have to scale back in some areas. It's almost like a conversation my wife and I've had. We've looked at some of our streaming services. We have Netflix, we have Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, we have cable, we have internet. And then you really start thinking about it. Now, wait a minute. Why do we have cable if we have all these streaming services? Why do we have Hulu if we've got Netflix? Why do we have premium service here? Oh, yeah, now we've got Vudu. It's like, why do we need all these things and we can only watch one channel at a time? Well, something about this entertainment needy inner world we live in, you feel like you're missing something. If a new show comes out on Marvel and you don't have Disney Plus, it feels like, oh my God, there's a new season of Jack Reacher. I gotta binge watching it, caught up. So you feel like you're missing something. But the business mind of me says, the more you pay to entertainment, the more you pay to be entertained, the more you pay to be diverted in energy and mind and attention from things that matter the most, is less time you have to spend on things that matter. So with that said, y'all, this is another edition of the End Zone Club. Again, I need you guys to like, share, rate, subscribe. If you don't mind, we have a monthly listener support tab. The first 5 people that sign up this month to be just paid listeners, I got something special. I got something special. With that said, this is Anthony Mitchell. Over and out.